We have been preaching through a sermon series called Introducing the Holy Spirit. And we really did that because it became apparent to me that for most of the church, many people are not sure about who the Holy Spirit is, even though he's a member of the Godhead, co-equal with the Father and the Son. He is the member of the Godhead who is now given to indwell the church, and that everybody who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ is currently indwelt by the Holy Spirit. He is the member of the Godhead who in this dispensation of grace is the Lord of the church. Now the Spirit is Lord, and where the Spirit is given lordship, there will be great liberty. Our responsibility as New Testament believers is not to obey a set of laws that were written on stone. Our responsibility now is to respond to the leadership of the Holy Spirit, right? For anybody who is led by the Spirit of the Lord, they are the sons, the grown-up, mature children of God. And so the law of the Spirit who gives life set me free from the law of sin and death. And our responsibility as believers who've come into Jesus is to walk in step with the Spirit and to listen to his voice and do what he tells us. And so what becomes very apparent is that if you have a nervousness about the Holy Spirit, or you don't know how he functions, so I'm just going to relate to the Father and the Son, that a significant portion of what Jesus intended you to be living in is shunned by you out of ignorance. And so I've started this series called Introducing Holy Spirit, because I just wanted to lay some basic foundations of this is Holy Spirit, this is what he wants to do for you. And it's a very, very basic and very quick introduction series, and it's only been 5 weeks. So I'm going to pick up on the fifth one, but I want to just look back at the last 2 weeks because I see some of you haven't been here for 2 weeks. No, I'm just... for the following people who haven't been here, I'm just going to... No, I'm just joking. Sorry. Okay, back to... There's about three people who are not laughing. Those are the people I'm talking to. Okay, so 2 weeks back, we looked at some of the symbolic names of Holy Spirit, right? So we looked in this series about the names of the Holy Spirit in the Scriptures, and we did some introductions. But some of the things that the Bible talks about, the Holy Spirit uses names that are symbolic. And we recognize that symbolic names of the Holy Spirit are not to be taken literally. The Holy Spirit is not anointing oil, but he's like anointing oil. And so the scripture makes this simile. It says this is what he's like. And so we can draw some truth out of those names of the Spirit. And we looked at some of the names of the Holy Spirit from Israel's religious life. And so we looked at the Holy Spirit is called the anointing oil, which refers to his sanctifying and setting us aside for sacred use, which is what the anointing oil was for. He's called my blessing, which was the ministry of the priests to bless the people whenever they came together in God's name, and that the Holy Spirit's actively trying to bring forth all the things that God promised and Jesus paid for. The Holy Spirit makes them manifest into our life. He's the one who does that. He's the executive of the Godhead. And then the Holy Spirit as holy fire, and that's the stirring of passion for his will and for purity. That's the work of the Spirit in our lives. And Jesus said, you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit and with fire. There is this fire that the Holy Spirit stirs in us. And Thessalonians says, do not put out the Spirit's fire. Don't quench what the Holy Spirit is trying to stir in you. And so it's amazing to me how many times I think the Holy Spirit comes and lights something and little, you know, he throws a little kindling on and he's blowing on it and we quench it because we go, no, this is, it's never been done this way before. That's not how we do it in this church. This is not my background. And I would just like to dare you, I dare you to just go, wow, is that you, Lord? Yeah, well then I'm going to throw some logs on here and see where this takes me. Let's just see where this goes. So those were symbolic names relating to Israel's religious life. And then last week we looked at symbolic names relating to some of the social customs. And the first one of that, we looked at a deposit. I love this. The Holy Spirit is called the deposit guaranteeing what is to come. And that was a financial reality in those days. When you made an agreement, you put a financial deposit down. And that deposit was a guarantee that this agreement is binding. It's done. Here's the deposit. But if you broke that agreement, you lost the deposit. I love this piece. God the Father and Jesus his Son enter a covenant with mankind and give us the Holy Spirit as the deposit. You know what that means? It means that God will never break that covenant. It's like, if he did, he would say, okay, well, you keep the Holy Spirit. We, the two of us, are going to go here. Right? Isn't that sweet? God committed himself in one of the persons of the Godhead as the deposit. I love that piece. He's the doorkeeper. The Holy Spirit is called the doorkeeper, the one who ushers us into the presence of God and ushers things into our lives and closes the door when things want to come into our lives. And he goes, no, where's your ticket? He welcomes us in to the things that God wants us to be in, and he shuts the door on things he doesn't want us to be in. And then he's called the enduement, or the clothing, the clothes that heaven wants to put on you. You want to be endued with power from on high. Not nourished from the earth, endued from on high. It's a clothing that comes from heaven. The anointing of God, the power of God to bring forth life and change. Many years ago, Michelle had a friend who was at college with her, and she really was struggling. She had some issues in her life and had daddy issues and many men in her life, and it was a mess. And Michelle was trying to win her, and she led her to the Lord. And then I remember one day we were just young Christians, and she had severe pains in her back and her leg, and we prayed for her. We go, oh, well, let's pray. And the power of God hit her. She goes, man, I feel tingling. It's like there's heat going through my body, and the Lord healed her leg. And I remember the beauty of that moment. Here's a girl who's just, her life's in a mess, but she had an encounter with God. And I watched the truth of that hit. Not only that God is real, that God is personal and he ministering to me, but that he loves me. I watched all of that happen in her face in about 5 seconds as God just healed her. It was beautiful to watch. The endowment of power is what Jesus said. Now, I don't want you preaching the gospel. I don't want you going out of Jerusalem until you have this, right? So that's what we looked at the last couple of weeks, and I trust that the Lord has been ministering. Today, I want to look at some of the symbolic names of the Holy Spirit as relate to the natural world. And so there are some things that the Holy Spirit is called, and so I want to start with the Holy Spirit as dew. And so there are various scriptures that talk and connect the Holy Spirit with the process of dew in our lives. And so dew is just condensed water, right, that condenses and collects on cool surfaces. But dew is also, there's a type of dew that's a mixture. It's like the plant's breathing. Through the process called gutation, the plant changes and releases some of the nutrients and some of the liquid that's inside the plant, and it forms on the leaves. It's dew as well. And so if some of the old wives tale about healing, they'd say, if you're feeling ill, just take your shoes off and go walking through the forest in the early morning. And there's some truth to that, because there's such a freshness, the dew and the nutrient flows into our bodies. Now, Hosea 14:5 is where the Lord says, I will be like dew to Israel. And Psalm 133 talks about how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell together. And then he connects, he says, now, when brothers will dwell together in unity, it's like the anointing oil that was poured on Aaron. And he talks about the anointing oil. And then he talks also about the dew. He connects this concept of dew to the Holy Spirit and to the anointing. And he says it's as if the dew of Hermon, which was a massive mountain, very high and very rich in dew, was falling on Mount Zion, which is a much smaller mountain, very arid. And so basically he's going, it's like very heavy dew that it's going to form, and then it's going to form into rivers. It's going to flow. It's that thick, the dew. And so that's what we're dealing with. Now, dew is a gentle process. In other words, if there's storms or strong winds, dew doesn't form. It requires gentleness and quiet and in a certain amount of time. And so there is some ministry of the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit is coming like dew, He's going to minister into your life in a gentle way. And so sometimes it's going to require you just to be still, to sit back and be quiet. And then the Holy Spirit lets something emerge. Either He brings it to you and it forms in your life and you become aware, oh wow, that's what He's saying. And you go, what happened? Was there a lightning bolt? Did an angel appear? You go, no, it just kind of came to me. And sometimes, something the Holy Spirit will bring you, and sometimes it's something that He brings out of you. Sometimes it's what the Holy Spirit, the nutrient that He's built in, and that's maybe scriptures you've read or sermons you've heard or things you've done or times you've meditated, and the Holy Spirit brings that back to remembrance. He draws it out of you. And so many times there's things that I haven't thought of for years, and suddenly they come. I go, that doesn't make any sense. Like this story, I haven't thought of this lady for years till I started preaching. It's like the dew just emerged. Tell them the story. I haven't thought of it for years. So one of the ways the Holy Spirit comes to us is like dew. And the Bible says Jesus often withdrew to lonely places to pray. I think He just wanted some dew to form. I love it when the power of God, the strong hand of the Lord comes and you just get shaken and you have an encounter and you go, whoa, what happened? God showed up and I was transported. It was glory. More often than that, dew is going to form. That's why when you wake up in the morning, there's a residue in your spirit about something the Lord's spoken to you through the night. That's why when you take some time, you just get away and you just hang out with the Lord and you just think, not thinking about anything, not desperately praying, no strong breezes, you just hang out with the Lord, talk, something forms in your spirit. That's the Holy Spirit like dew. And it's interesting to me that before the sin entered the world, God watered the earth with dew. It wasn't rain. I was doing some study on dew this week. It's interesting that some of the way that the best way, some people conclude, for plants to get watered is by dew, because it doesn't drain nutrients out of the soil, because it's gentle and it draws nutrients out of the soil and then it's kind of this refreshing constant thing. Whereas rains, and especially hard rains, drains nutrients out of the soil, gets them into rivers, and the sea becomes nutrient rich. And so if there's harsh rains constantly, the soil becomes less and less nutrient rich. But dew does not do that. And so one of the things that heaven wants to do is bring this distillation. And it impregnates, it suffuses, it softens, it percolates, it soothes, it's a revealer, it's a searcher, it's gentle, but it's as strong as spring to change the colors of leaves and bring forth buds. It's like autumn that'll change things around. It's a gentle process, but it makes massive change. Sometimes being in a service and just being quiet together is one of the best things we could do. It's breath or the condensate or the dew of our hearts that makes for the best praise and the most real worship. The Holy Spirit comes to enrich a thought or to nourish a truth or to empower a life-giving revelation. And this is the function of the dew of heaven. The Bible says of Israel that they went out in the early mornings and there was dew on the ground. And as the dew evaporated, it formed into manna. It's the gentle formation of something in our life. And every one of us is indwelt. If you're a believer, you're indwelt by the Holy Spirit. And if you just take time to get quiet and to listen, His nourishment that's inside of you will be made evident. Isn't that cool? So it's not always, okay, Lord, I'm here, send the rain. Like from outside somewhere, it's going to fall on me. No, sometimes the Holy Spirit in you is going to form refreshing from within. Is that sweet? This is the refreshing in life that comes when you fellowship with Holy Spirit. Talk to Him. Ask Him questions. So when you see a green, verdant forest that's watered by dew, that's like a metaphor for your life. That's God's view of you. That's how he wants your life to look. Always thriving, that your soul is prospering because of this movement of the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit reveals to us the riches that God has prepared for those who love him, which includes every spiritual blessing there is. Stop and think about that. You have been blessed in Jesus Christ with every spiritual blessing. And so if you'll just take time to say, Holy Spirit, would you teach me? He begins to form the dew of the understanding of, wow, oh, that's mine too? Oh, wow. Oh, that's mine. Oh, wow. That's very cool. I love the Holy Spirit coming as dew. Second one is that the Holy Spirit is represented as a dove. He's often spoken of as a dove, and the first mention of a dove in Scripture is the dove that's sent out of the ark by Noah, because if we use the principle of interpretation of the law of first mention, the first time doves are mentioned is Noah sends out. He sends out a raven, and he sends out a dove. The raven goes out and eats carcasses and never comes back, but the dove comes back and goes, yeah, there's nothing there. And then he sends out the dove again. Second time he sends out the dove, it comes back with an olive branch, a little twig and an olive leaf. And which is a beautiful symbol that the Spirit of God is the one, because olive oil was always the anointing oil. It was always the stuff of feeding people. It's the universal symbol of extending peace. The Spirit of God's job is to extend the peace that Jesus died to secure with you. It's a very, very beautiful concept of the Holy Spirit. And the dove in Scripture was always seen as an emblem of purity, innocence, and peace. That's its standard. And so even one of the peace offerings, one of the sacrifices, if you didn't have enough money to buy a lamb, was you brought a dove, right? It was the one of the ways you could sacrifice. And so Mark 1, in fact, this is in all four Gospels, this story, but I just used one. It says he saw heaven open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And you know, if you go to Genesis 1, you even see that. It says, and the Spirit of God hovered over the waters. There was chaos on the surface of the planet, and the Spirit of God hovered over the earth. In fact, it says he hovered over the universe. It was just, and the Lord said, let there be, and there was. And so the Spirit of God executed every word of God as he hovered over the creation of God. Now, here's the one. It's interesting to me that there's only two forms that the Holy Spirit ever took. The first was when Jesus was baptized in the Holy Spirit, they saw like a dove, like a physical dove. The Holy Spirit rested on Jesus. And on the day of Pentecost, there were flames of fire. The only two forms that are ever connected with the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, like a dove, come and rests and testifies with us. It's interesting when you look at doves, they're known for a few things. One is that they're very territorial. They'll come back. They'll go and they'll come back. They're very caring. They're very nurturing. They're very gentle, very pure. So the Holy Spirit testifies with us, hey, you're the child of God. And the dove is the one who calls out Abba, Father, stirs us. And out of the storms and the crises of your life, the Holy Spirit is the one who brings the olive branch back to you, the peace with God. Hey, I just want you to know there's still peace. God's still at peace with you. That's the constant testimony of the dove. Hey, I know, yeah, Lord, I was an idiot. I know, but peace. Peace to you. Peace to your foolish self, you know? Peace. Because you have peace with God through your Lord Jesus Christ. That constant testimony, he testifies with us, you're still a child of God. Hey, do you know what? Father still loves you. Peace. He's not hawk-like or eagle-like, but dove-like. Brings both justice to the nations, and yet at the same time, the Bible says he's not willing to snuff out a smoldering wick. Imagine if the Holy Spirit was hawk-like. descended on Jesus like an eagle. That's wonderful if everything's strong in your life. But if you're on the edge, if you're like a smoldering wick, go snuff that thing out. No, he's like a dove. And I'm so grateful to him for that. That his ministry is faithful and pure and tender. So very grateful to him for that. He's the kindest person and the most tender person you'll meet. But don't mess with him. He's strong. He hovered over creation to execute it. But he's still dove-like. Praise God. They're known for their devotion to their mates. They're known for their tenderness. They're known to return. That is, they're loyal. So what is the dove-like ministry of the Spirit look like in your life? Is that somebody you think you can open your heart to and welcome? Absolutely. Is that somebody you want to help you with the current set of circumstances you're in? Absolutely. Fling wide the doors. Holy Spirit, would you come? Would you come and minister? Would you come and use me? Thirdly, the Holy Spirit is as a river. Jesus spoke of the Holy Spirit as being rivers of living waters that will constantly flow from your outside, from inside your belly. It'll be constant river, like this mighty river that constantly flows. It's not a perennial stream that's dependent on outside rain. It's this mighty river that is fed by the wells of God. And if you study, there's a couple of scriptures, Ezekiel 14, 47, talks about the river that flows out of the throne room of God. That's the source. God is the source of these rivers. And wherever the river flows, there is life. And so we've got part of that scripture up here in Ezekiel 47. And there's this interesting thing that in the Feast of Tabernacles, every year, Tabernacles was the third feast season of Israel, and the whole nation had to come to Jerusalem, and they had to live in tabernacles that they'd built for that week, and it was a celebration of the harvest, the latter harvest of the year, which was the greatest harvest of Israel. They would celebrate it, but they'd also remember how God had brought them out of Egypt and how they'd lived in temporary dwellings for that time. And so it was a celebration of God's deliverance, a celebration of the current harvest, and a constant reminder to the Jews of the promises of God that there was a coming a day when he would pour out his Spirit. And so every day in the Feast of Tabernacles, what they would do is the priests would come down, everybody had to do this. They would go and they would draw waters out of the pool of Siloam. They'd go up the temple and they would pour the water out at the foot of the altar. In the temple, and they would pour out the waters, and they would pour out wine, and they would signify that this would be a reminder to the whole nation, God has promised that the day is coming, he's going to pour out his Spirit. And then, so every day they'd go draw waters out of the pool of Siloam, pour it out, and go, this is God promised living waters. And on the last day of the feast, they would do that seven times. They walk around the altar seven times, remind them of Jericho, they'd pour out these waters. And the Bible says, on the last and greatest day of the festival, it's like they're in the middle of this, pouring out the waters. Jesus stood up and said in a loud voice, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink." I picture Jesus standing on some high place, and the whole Jerusalem is full of people who are waiting for the festival, and they're pouring out the waters, and he shouts to the crowd, "Hey, anybody thirsty, come to me." Wow. Wasn't religious. Everyone's like, "Who's that guy? What's he shouting about?" See, he wasn't read in well-modulated tones. This was at the top of his voice. And he said, "Whoever believes in me, out of their belly is going to flow rivers of living water." Not this pool of Siloam stale water. Living water. It's the same living water he said to the lady at the well. If you ask me, I'll give you living water. Not this well water. It's stale and sitting in the bottom of something. I'll give you bubbling, fresh, life-giving water. Crystal clear streams. And so you see in Ezekiel, also at that feast, they would read from Ezekiel 47. Fascinating. And so Ezekiel 47 says, wherever the river flows, there'd be swarms of living creatures. And there's growth on the banks. And there's life exploding. So flowing rivers are beautiful because they stir life from everything around them. And Jesus said, one of the ministries, by this he meant the Spirit, whom when you believe, that stream is ignited. And if you will just take time to just go, okay, Holy Spirit, what are you doing? You will discover and remember again, there is a stream of living water flowing from you. Well, how does that happen? Well, Jesus said, it's not like there's the 42-step process. He said, believe. If you're thirsty, come to me, drink. And out of your belly, this is going to happen. And he says, by this he meant, for those who would later believe on him, that's what's going to be the reality. And so if you're thirsty, come and drink. And some people go, well, you know, it doesn't feel like a mighty rushing river. It feels like a perennial little stream and there's not much going on. Well, then just come and drink some more. How do I get the river to grow? Just go, Lord. And the river will flow. Amen. Like that. She just said, Lord, more. And so that's, then she's having more. Right. Not hard. I yield the rest of my sermon to. It's wonderful. The Holy Spirit coming as a comforter, a guide, a helper, a constantly flowing river. Well, you don't know what I'm facing. Well, you don't know what's inside of you. I'm facing real dragons. There'd be dragons here. Yeah, but there'd be a river here. Go, Lord, Holy Spirit, let the river flow. I just love you, Jesus. Just begin to worship. Just begin to pay attention. You'll find the river just flows. Wide and deep, flows out of the throne of God, full of the pure wisdom of heaven, full of the glory of God. What do I have to do to get it? Now, do you believe in Jesus? Yeah. Well, it's already flowing in you. It's in you. But I haven't behaved properly. Did you believe? Yes. Well, it's in you. Praise God. The person of the promise was Jesus. He said, come to me and drink. The breath of the promise is as wide as humanity. Anybody thirsty? Anybody? Come to me and drink. The condition of the promise is you must be thirsty. That's why people who are cynical and I dare you to bless me and I don't think and God better prove himself to me, they come and nothing happens. Because the Holy Spirit doesn't dance to his creation's little knots. But if you come thirsty, go, Lord, I really need you. River flows. Yes. That's the condition, right? The simplicity of the promise is that all you have to do is come to Jesus and drink. And if, as I said, it feels like the rivers are tiny little streams, then come and drink some more. It's not a one-time deal. Lord, I love where I am. But could you turn up the volume? Could you open another sluice gate? Because I like the white water. Could you? I love this, Holy Spirit. Could you? Could we go higher? Could you do more? Well, how much is enough? How much are you thirsty for? Just say if you're thirsty and you drink, you'll be filled. How much are you thirsty for? Some people on the beach. If you're a beach watcher, you sit and you watch some people go, and then they get up and they walk and they get their ankles wet. Oh, and they go back sitting in the chair. Right? Some of the moms got little kids, they go in knee deep and they go, oh, no, that's deep enough. And they splash around, it's wonderful. And then some people go out there with the, you know, where the big waves are. Let's go out there with the dolphins swim. Let's go ride the big wave. Let's go drift in the big swell. Let's get out there with beyond. And friends, quite honestly, that depth is entirely up to how much do you want. How thirsty are you? Because I believe with all my heart. I really do that. I believe this with all my heart. If you're satisfied with ankle deep, then you're going to have cold ankles the rest of your life. Wrinkly toes. If you're satisfied with knee deep, then that will be your experience. If you want to ride the big waves, where the deep calls to deep, if you want to get out there beyond the breakers, into the deep oceans of God, then that's entirely up to you. Now I'm going to end this sermon with just a few minutes. I'm going to ask the worship team if you'd come up. And I'm going to ask the worship team just to lead us in some worship. And we're going to just ask and trust the Holy Spirit to do one of these three things, or all three. We're going to ask Him to come as dew. And just if you're trusting the dew of the Spirit and the ministry of that, just sit back, relax, and let the Holy Spirit form what He wants in your heart. Maybe you're asking the Holy Spirit as a dove to come and just settle and bring me peace. And maybe you'll want the river to flow. And that's entirely up to you. But I'm going to ask the worship team, they're just going to minister, and I'm asking you to sit back and relax. And say, Holy Spirit, come. Because this is what He said. If you're thirsty and you drink, you'll be filled. And if there is anybody who says, you know, nobody's ever prayed for me for baptism in the Holy Spirit. I've never been endued with power from on high, but I'd like to. And you'd like somebody to do that, I'm going to invite you to come stand up front during this time. And the elders will be up front, and we're just going to pray for those who want that. But I guarantee you don't have to come up front. The Holy Spirit's moving and has been moving throughout this whole time. And so He's going to continue to do that. But I want to make this an intimate time for you. I want you to just close your eyes and say, Lord, come to me. Visit with me. Explain to me. Open my eyes. Meet with me. Fellowship with me, Holy Spirit. And so I'm going to invite you to do that. And if you want the elders to pray for you, you can come stand up front. Thanks.